ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, brought to you by you, the donors and the listeners and all the various people who share around and contribute in some small way to this little operation of talking to people of all different kinds of persuasions and realms of thought and things of that nature, regardless of whether or not we agree with them, because journalism is about giving everybody a frickin' say so that everybody else can make up their frickin' mind. All right? That's the cult of Vinny Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen. No leader, no doctrine, just don't be a dick. All right? Pretty straightforward. I would have thought so. Go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com or AmericanFreedomRadio.com, who even gave me this platform, and start giving us a couple of bucks a month. You know, a couple of bucks a week even. I had a bunch of people sign up doing the new $2.50 a week payments through that PayPal, and another listener who's so generous, who started putting up $20 a week through that PayPal as well. And another people have got through the Kiwi Bank account that's on the homepage there. And I must say, ladies and gentlemen, I really, really appreciate all your help and support for keeping the show on the air. It's been nearly a decade, and every single time I have ever asked for help, you have been there for me. And that's because whenever the activists who get demonized in the media ask for help, I am always there for them. My very special guest joining me today is Aaron Franz, who originally called Paris Franz, but they thought that was too on the nose. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me here, Vinny.
That was a Batman the Killing Joke reference, by the way, if you haven't seen the film yet. It wasn't that good anyway.
Missed it.
Now, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Sure. People will probably best know me from the video I made in 2008, The Age of Transitions. It's about transhumanism, eugenics, things like that. And since that time, I've just been a commentator, alt-media kind of guy.
So it wasn't about puberty. All right, keep continuing.
It could have been. You know what? I look up Age of Transitions on different search engines, and it comes up with like becoming elderly and all these like different things. So you definitely get things like that. But yeah, it was just a boring old thing about transhumanism, you know, just like everybody else is doing. So not too creative. I've written a book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. I did that a few years back. And yeah, I just do a podcast, Trans Resistor Radio, a podcast. So yeah, just a commentator, researcher, interested in the occult and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the, not working too hard at it, I can see. Just making sure you got all the professional gears there and talking about all those real scary topics that people really don't want to deal with the truth, all right? And this is the ultimate thing that I've found is that if you do want the truth, there must be something wrong with you. Even the people who claim to want the truth don't really want the truth. And they will find out after listening to my show, for example, after a few years or something like that, eventually I'll interview somebody or say something that they do not like, and ergo, the last 1,000 shows that they did enjoy and the last 1,000,000 things I said that they did like, out the window!
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got the truth movement. I guess it maybe this is debatable, but I'd say it peaked out around 2008, and it was a great thing. I mean, I was there. I was doing the 9/11 truth thing myself. I thought that was a thing to do. It was really good. But since that time, I've become a little bit disenchanted with the movement as such. I'm not even sure if it still exists or not, but a lot of people out there just attaching the word truth to, you know, an ideology that they want to push.
Yep.
And that's not the way the truth works for me. It's not about ideologies. It's about pushing yourself further to different things you didn't think you would have accepted, you know, before under, you know, thinking within narrow parameters.
Yeah. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, just a warning here. If anybody in, you know, the movement per se, alternative media or whatever, has the moniker or name Truth in their title, watch the F out, okay? Because they're quite likely a frickin' lying psychopath who uses 90% of the truth to get you to think that they only tell truth so that they can sell you their 10% of lies that get you to abandon your reason and become one of their cult-like followers. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, lots of traps out there. Lots of charlatans, sad to say. Like I said, I've been doing this for a while, so, you know, you see things. You know how it is, Vinny. I don't know, but it's good to be positive. I mean, the truth, I think, I mean, it's a thing that you can go after. And it's as a goal, I think seeking truth is a good goal to have. As long as you don't ever, you know, think you found it, you know, for good. Like, this is the truth. I have it. I wrote down the definition, and I'm going to put it in the dictionary under the word truth. And now we'll know what it is. Because it doesn't work that way. It's something you keep continually looking up. It's also something that, I mean, it depends on the situation. What's true in a certain situation could seem to contradict a different situation.
Well, it's coming down to this point where I'm no longer looking for truth from people per se. I'm looking for honesty. Now, honest people can be wrong, but they'll tell you that they gave you the wrong information and they will correct themselves. A liar and somebody who actually is really not in this for the right reasons, on the other hand, you'll notice not only do they never admit when they're wrong, they never apologize for anything. The closest thing they can come to that is, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. Well, there were, you know, with the truth movement, getting back to that, there were a lot of goals that seemed to be, I mean, they just seemed one way to me in the start, and over the years, things have shifted. You know, talking about secret societies, for one thing, you've got people looking into the occult, secret societies, that sort of arcane subject matter, in a real sort of generic kind of way and not really caring about what the truth of that may be, just kind of maybe labeling Freemasonry as evil and like leaving it at that. And then 2 seconds later, leaving a Francis Bacon quote on your Facebook page or, you know, on social media, you're like, yeah, the Freemasons are evil and they're just terrible. But here's a Francis Bacon quote. I can really get into that. You know, the guy who's credited with creating modern day Freemasonry. I'm just going to quote him.
Well, not only modern day Freemasonry, he also created the modern day legal system, which in many countries is almost entirely and exclusively populated by Freemasons. To this day, same with police. And in fact,
well, I'm not trying to be an apologist for Freemasons either.
I get exactly what you're saying because you talk about my friend Mark. He's a low level third degree Blue Lodge Mason. He has no idea what's going on at the dark lodges and that kind of thing. And what was interesting, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, journalist from New Zealand, Ben Vidgen. And he said that Freemasonry in New Zealand works a little bit more interestingly than, say, it does overseas. Overseas, you've got different types of Masons. You know, most of them, 80%, they're just there to get away from their wives, have a few drink with a couple of the old guys. Some of them are into numerology. You know, they're actually really interested in it. Some people are into geometry. Some are into history. But the others, they're into politics. All right, politics, which is specifically banned from the lodges, even under the lodges' own rules. And they go into politics nonetheless, not telling people that they have an oath to their society that they actually hold above all other oaths, including the oath that New Zealand prime ministers have to swear to the Queen and all her successors. Right. And I'm just thinking to myself, whoa, that's very freaking interesting, isn't it? You've got... Yeah. These secret lodges in New Zealand, not so much secret, but they are very exclusive. And when you look at the New Zealand political scene, you see the most powerful political representatives all coincidentally happening to be Freemasons, all coincidentally happening to belong to one of three lodges that have been identified as the top most powerful lodges in the country with the most exclusive membership. Now, to think that there's nothing suspect about that whatsoever is insanity. But to say that and then go carte blanche, all Masons are evil, they're all evil, devil worshippings. Look, if you worship the state, you're a Satanist, okay? You're just as liable for the culpability of the extermination and enslavement of the human race as anybody else by voting and not frickin' pointing out the flaws in the system. That is your fault, okay? Mm-hmm. People don't take responsibility for their actions, and they try to palm it off onto these shadowy cliques and things like that, when really, if you were doing something the 1,000 days between elections, you might have actually made a difference.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there for any sort of truth seekers, free thinkers, truth movement even, to do good stuff, I think, because a big problem, in my point of view, is that you've got just the mass of regular people super polarized now. You've got like a really extreme left wing, really extreme right wing, and that's almost become the norm. You know, it's like, oh, are you a left winger or are you a right winger? Because if you're the opposite of me, I'm about to have an intellectual fight with you. It's not even that intellectual either. It's just like this war of words that gets nowhere. So that's something I'd like to do something about. I don't know if I'll be able to, but I'm doing my best over here.
Well, I just made a video about this, and for the first time ever, I actually kind of prefaced what I was going to say to people who really wouldn't understand it or want to hear it, you know? And it's just very simple, you know, if you start feeling hot under the collar, you feel a sudden rush of adrenaline, you feel the urge to yell at the screen or point fingers at me and say, this is your political belief, blah, 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 without listening to the rest of the video, don't worry, it's perfectly natural, okay? It's called your fight or flight response, because what happens is it's there for a very good reason, to protect your beliefs and your ideologies and the things that you've built your identity and your life around. However, that fight or flight response can also prevent you from listening without judgment and learning things you don't already know that might be important.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of silly quarrels out there. And I mean, the last U.S. presidential election was kind of like the culmination of that. It's like the right versus the left. And, you know, you had Hillary Clinton running, which was a terrible candidate. You had Trump, which is a terrible candidate as far as I'm concerned, and Trump ended up winning. I mean, it makes sense that he won, but you've still got some arguments left over from the presidential debate as things continue happening. You know, people are still attacking Hillary and all that, and I just don't see a point. I mean, she may be back later, you know, 4 years later or however much later to try to be president again, but until that time, I think there's other concerns that are more important at the moment, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, the United States being geoengineered up to buggery, Army Corps of Engineers purposely flooding Americans' farmland and then stealing it off them, compulsorily acquired by the government, taxation's completely out of control, mandatory vaccination coming in, the media's completely corrupt, totally obviously, so is the alternative media. But hey, let's get hyped up about politics, shall we? You know, let's distract ourselves and cause ourselves extra stress, and vice versa, extra illness by worrying about it and stressing about it and arguing with each other aggressively instead of having an open dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of space for that right now. There's a lot of opportunity for people to just take a step back and relax. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the average person relax and not get so defensive of their particular belief system, be a bit more open-minded. I think if that started to happen, I think there's a real potential for a good change to occur. And I want to believe that that's truly possible, and that something like that may begin to happen. I don't hold out hope that, you know, the masses of humanity are going to wake up and everything's just going to magically be different and better. But I do, you know, I remain optimistic nonetheless. I do think that things will get better.
I kind of adopt the exact opposite, you know, just a bitter, jaded cynicism. I find is a lot more rewarding, because then when people do stupid things, you're not only unsurprised, you're not upset either, because you knew it was going to happen.
Don't get me wrong, that I've got a cynic in me too, and I like to just, you know,
I like to let him out now and again. go on, walkies.
No, it's funny to laugh at it too. I like to you know, make jokes about just the silliness of it all. And I mean, what else can you do? I know that that's your thing too, Vinny. So kudos on that one.
Yeah, it's it was a military kudos. Now,
Well, I do have a shaved head after all. What do you expect?
You can't make this shit up, folks. Now, I've
been doing this too long. I lost all my hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's been like 10 years and the hair is gone. That's, take it out of you.
Yeah, the stress of having ordinary slave scum come up to you and call you a conspiracy theorist, that's male pattern baldness for a start, ladies and gentlemen. You can't prevent that. I mean, come on.
There's no way out for me. I've accepted it. It's fine. It's my part of who I am now. Crumb dumb.
Well, as my friend Jonathan Eisen says, don't worry about how bad things are in life, because nobody gets out alive anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Now, in terms of this truth movement per se, and I've been trying to get away from this, and James Corbett gave me a slightly better term, which is the alt media, right? But the problem is that's been hijacked by this term fake news or alternative truth. Look, the truth, it doesn't care who you are. The truth doesn't care what you believe. The truth and the universe itself does not give a flying F about you whatsoever. And you better get used to that fact. All right? You got dreams? You got ideas, bro? Just go out there and frickin' do them. Because nobody else cares about your dreams and your ideas. Because everybody's got their own. And they think they're the most important. And guess what? Almost everybody is right about that. Their own ideas and what they do in their own life is actually the most important thing that they could ever be thinking or acting upon.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't agree more there, Vinny. And that's freedom, right? Allowing people to do what it is that they want to do and not interfering, just saying, yeah, that's okay. You know, I may not agree with it. It's not what I would do, but hey, I'm doing my own thing over here. And if everybody's able to do that without bothering each other too much, right? You're going to bother each other a little bit, who cares? But as long as you're not hurting each other,
it's an ideal situation. A study has just shown that hearing viewpoints you don't agree with doesn't cause any real harm.
You go on Twitter, it doesn't seem that way, does it?
I mean, the perception of harm and harm itself are two different things, right? I constantly have people, I'm a little bit narcissistic, right? So I Googled myself and Googled for short videos just to see if anybody had actually made any short videos of me. And naturally, 90% of them were my own ones. But there's one guy on there, he's like, Vinny, why are you talking bad about New Zealand? Why are you telling people that we've got pollution and a corrupt police force and a corrupt government? I mean, it's true, but it's hurting the country by doing... Really? Really? Not exposing the corruption in this country is hurting the country. You know, just name me a... Just point out that it's the individual who has actually really, really just hurt... Oh, Finney told me the truth about something I didn't know and want to ignore and would rather not know. Oh, that bastard! How dare he! It just sicks me, man. I mean, like, you never develop a thick skin for this job. And this is something I really understand, that a lot of talk radio show hosts delude themselves. They're like, oh, I could deal with abuse constantly. No, you fucking can't. All right, it affects you. Okay, it's a weapon. Yeah. All right, and your brain hasn't got any firewall against weapons that you read and things like that. And I'll give you an example of how your brain has no defenses against somebody else's ideas and the way that they affect you. Large jiggling breasts. All right, all of a sudden, there they are, bouncing around in your head, and that you can't prevent it. Brain's got no firewall. So whenever you tell somebody something, they can't unhear it. Whenever you insult somebody, they can't not feel it. And I've seen so many people, bro, Aaron, just come and go in this movement for that exact reason. They thought they'd come in and that it'd all be about truth and peace and love and that kind of thing. And they realize that this war's been going on for eternity and they have to dedicate their entire existence and their forebears and their fortune to the fight if they want to even continue to participate in it. And for a lot of people, that is too much sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's not what it appears to be on the outside. It's just like, oh, yeah, again, it's about labeling something and then creating all these expectations. And then when you go to learn the truth of the situation, you reject that. Be like, no, I want it to be the way I wanted it to be. Well, what is this? You know, like, isn't it supposed to be the way that I want it to be? Like, no, it's not actually. You have to find a way to deal with it. I mean, if it's really important to you, you find a way. You know what I mean? Like, with truth, it's for me, I mean, if you're truth seeking, what is the goal? You know, is it about even getting the most attention or like getting your ideas even spread more than anybody else? Or is it at least collecting ideas from, you know, other sources, your own research, you know, from as far and wide as sources as you can get, and collecting them, aggregating them, and then coming to as good of an understanding as you can? And then if you have a media platform, that's great. You share that with people, and you know, let that be what it is. You can't do this. I mean, it's tough. It's hard if you expect more than that, really.
Yeah, my wife was getting frustrated yesterday because she was trying to help people and they weren't helping her back. And I told her, baby, that's not how the universe works. You help 10 people and none of them will help you back. But they'll go on feeling better. And you've actually put 10 times as much positivity into the world. And what they do is they overflow that positivity onto other people in their life. They might help 10 people, and that goes around and around and around. And eventually you actually make society and the people that you help a better place. That is the actual reward. Now, occasionally, just occasionally, that positive energy that you send around comes back, but it won't come back to you in a, well, I've suddenly got millions of dollars, I don't need to worry about anything anymore. It's, huh, somebody just donated me enough to pay my rent this week. Somebody just gave me enough so that I don't have to starve this week. These little things that pop in on a daily basis that give you a message from the universe, and that message is, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep going. You'll be all right. You'll be all right, don't worry. You know, it whispers to you.
That's karma. And again, you can't come in with preconceived notions of karma. It's like, if I do this, then the exact same thing immediately comes back. As you just explained, that's not exactly how it works. But at the same time, it does work, right?
Well, karma is commonly misunderstood to be, if I do good, good things happen to me. Okay, now, All good people listening in the audience, raise your hand. Okay, now put your hands down. I ask you a question. Have you ever been screwed over by somebody who's a real evil scumbag before, even though you're a really good person and you've been good your entire freaking life? Oh, you have? Oh, how did that happen if karma was the way you think it works? It's because karma is not what you think it is. It's not positive energy flowing around and then flowing directly back. Okay, that's a debt, and that's a debt getting paid. That's how bankers do work in the universe. How it works is you send energy into the conversation, another person sends energy into the conversation, you create more energy up in the middle of that conversation than either of you could create by yourself, and you then get to feed off of that extra energy. Okay, it is cause and effect. All right, if you do some training in kickboxing, for example, and then you go to the K1, you realize that all your training pays off. And that's actually what karma is, ladies and gentlemen, cause and effect.
You know, what's interesting is that if you get back to that problem of the right-left debate and people just debating over everything now, just at each other's throats, you have karma out there as this religious concept. So somebody who might be non-religious, atheist, you know, they have to hate religion and all religious concepts because that's what you do. You hate the opposite thing that you believe. So you see karma, you're like, oh, that's one of those phony baloney religious things that doesn't work. Oh, that's stupid, blah, 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 blah. And then you've got the people that maybe are more spiritual, religious minded on the opposite side of the debate, and they'll just be like, it is true, and they'll be kind of airy-fairy, and like their definition of it won't be one that would ever convince the opposite side, let alone somebody that's just kind of in the middle maybe, or not like really dedicated to one side or the other.
Well, in my opinion, any debate that the masses have with each other is by very definition masturbating.
Yeah, you know, I want to disagree with that, but I'm not.
So you're just having an intellectual toss, aren't you? I mean, that's what it is. Oh, I need to get my jollies off today. What? Are you feeding your narcissism and your psychopathy and your sadism today on YouTube and Facebook comment sections, are you?
Yes, absolutely, because that's the reason I left.
God. Everybody's got to be right. Everybody's got to be right. Everybody has to think they know it all. And this is one of the big problems with science in our day, too. I don't have a problem with science. It's a process of, you know, experimenting and learning from those experiments.
Copernicus had a problem with science when he realized that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe and the scientific community tried to have him executed.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, you just you run an experiment, you find something out. If you're getting persecuted, well, truth was never the objective for at least everybody else. For you, it may have been. And if anybody's using science in the name of truth, I mean, you got to always bring in new information and not act like science is at some penultimate level where we know everything about anything, because we don't. We're so far away. We don't know jack, basically. Yeah. We barely know anything right now.
We were operating under majority beliefs, minority knowledge. So you know you need oxygen to survive, but you don't know that fluoride's bad for you. All right, you know that you need water to drink, but you don't know that chemtrails are real. You know that you don't, or let's say even on the other thing, if you're only slightly awakened, you know that fluoride's bad for you, but you don't know that there's a lot of fluoride in your green tea that you drink every day. And you don't know that it's got 20 times the amount of fluoride as regular tea. All right? These sort of things. I've seen so many people who, you know, you would think are awake in some way, but they fail to recognize that there's such a massive spectrum of deception that has been designed specifically to confuse everybody about everything, that 90% of the things that people who think they're truthful and honest and doing the right thing are actually just being played and playing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and society just generally speaking as a whole is trying to make a big push forward here with science again. Like, oh yeah, we've got this science and it explains everything. We've got everything in order here. That stupid old religion, we can just throw that out. Like, religion never had, man, no meaning in that anyway. You're stupid if you believe it, right? And philosophy, well, this won't even get on philosophy. Who needs that anyway? All we need is science. And we're just going to, you know, build this perfect world. We're going to build all these artificial intelligence systems that are going to take over. Those systems will eventually be self-learning and intelligent, where they'll just take over. And then they'll take care of us and they'll upgrade us and we'll become transhuman gods and everything will just work out perfect. There's no problem there.
And they don't realize that just having kids and raising them right will achieve the same perfect end.
Yeah, that's hard enough there. Just raising a kid right. I mean, the average, you know, that's hard enough. You think we're going to turn into post-human gods? We have that capacity right now? I don't think so. I don't think we're ready for that.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jeff Goldblum said on Jurassic Park, you know. Some of the science is the most awesome power that man has ever created, but you wield it like a kid who's found his dad's gun.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's basically a microcosm for the majority of science right now. And I remember somebody was telling me on a YouTube comment session years ago. He goes, "This is the one truth. This is the one truth." And I was like, "That's interesting. I've heard that phrase, the one truth. It's a singular article, right? It's a definite article. It's absolutely true, right?" And so I go, "Let's see what else is claiming to be the one truth." So Google it. Guess what happened? A whole bunch of religious websites come up. Islam is the one truth. Christianity is the one truth. Seventh-day Adventist is the one truth. Buddhism is the one truth. Wanking over a chicken is the one truth. It doesn't matter. Everybody believes that their truth is the only freaking truth, right? And the worst belief of all that I've encountered yet, other than satanic pedophile scum, is the... what was it? Solipsism. The belief that everything, this conversation we're having right here, ladies and gentlemen, all right, that's all in my mind. All right, I'm making it up. I'm that creative. I am the creator of all the frickin' universe, and this is just an illusion that I'm frickin' living. Okay? Now, first question I'm going to ask of those people, so you think your consciousness cancels out the other 7 billion? just first question, doesn't sound like an ironic and masterful cult ideology to me whatsoever, to rob people of their ability to discern facts from fiction so that they don't get manipulated and misled by scumbaggery mother effers, you know, just taking a stab in the dark. Might not be true. You know,
it's funny. I mean, I think people would have a lot to gain when they see the similarities thing between them instead of differences. That sounds corny and cliche, and it is, but it's true. I mean, all those religions, I don't subscribe to any one of them individually, but I can at least recognize that, you know, there's truth in the religions. You know, of course, those sacred texts of all the religions speak about very deep and complex occult ideas, which are not incorrect. But it's all about, well, how do you interpret that? There's like a million different ways still. All of them are correct, actually.
How many million different ways is there to interpret the one truth?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's infinite complexity out of ultimate simplicity, which is the ultimate truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's exactly what I believe as well, is that everything is a repeating pattern of everything else, and the further you zoom into anything, the more the pattern repeats itself infinitely, mm-hmm. right? Infinitely up the scale, infinitely down the scale, infinitely to the side. It's a universe-sized spider web of rabbit holes.
Yeah, people are getting caught up in the details. Like, oh, this tiny little detail that I found. Look, I picked it out. Here's the gem, the one gem that controls everything else. It's like, no, it's just a fragment of the greater reality, you know? And I don't know. It just seems like we're on the edge of just kind of realizing that. And yet we get caught up in these big, so much bickering where we're,
It strikes me as well that there's a movement within the so-called alternative media to try and really hype people up for a hot war and things like that with the US government. And I'm just like, bro, yeah, it's a good idea. You know, go to war against an enemy that has technology so advanced you can't even imagine it. All right. With an army that has unlimited mind control slaves to throw at you, who are financed by money they can literally make up out of thin air. Genius, you know, just take up a gun and fight those people, you know? How brilliant is that? You don't know what you're dealing with, son, okay?
all you need is your right to bear an assault rifle and maybe, you know, a 9mm pistol, and you're good to go. That's all you need, right? They'll do the job.
You don't need to be off the big pharma heart medication that as soon as you stop taking it will give you a heart attack, right? Okay. I was just thinking about all these obese, like maybe like 90 IQ patriots who think the word the Constitution is the most intellectual thing that they've ever actually uttered in their life. The Constitution says, have you ever read it? Well, no, but just shut.
Love that Constitution. I mean, yeah, but constitute so much, that Constitution, right?
I mean, the closest thing most Americans have to a Constitution is reconstituted McDonald's, all right?
Oh, man.
That's the unfortunate business of it.
It's quite a situation here in the U.S., I'll tell you. And I mean, I talk to people all over the world like you, Vinny. And sometimes it feels like you kind of have to live here to realize just how crazy things are. Like to realize just how – if you're talking about the U.S. military and the average people, I mean, we're basically – mind controlled propaganda is to just bow down. Like, oh, we love the military. We love everybody who's enlisted. Support the troops. It's just an empty platitude. It doesn't mean anything. They don't even ever qualify what that means to support the troops. I mean, we treat them like garbage anyway.
By putting them on the streets, giving them dangerous medications, cutting their Medicare and their Medicaid and their vets benefits. And when they get PTSD and complex post-traumatic stress disorder from killing people who they thought they were there to help, let's just give them a gun and let them shoot up the place. And then use that as a justification in the media why nobody's allowed to have guns anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy here. It's crazy. It's just... I don't know. I don't know where to begin, but we need help here. We need help in the U.S. I mean, the whole world needs help. That's why we're doing this thing. That's why we're doing this truth thing. All right. We want a better world, don't we, Vinny? It's possible. It seems I mean, how could going downhill doesn't sound like a good idea, but things could get better.
It's a lot more fun, in my opinion. I mean, look at this. If you have a look at all the societies and empires that have collapsed over the entirety of history. Now, I'm starting to wonder. And you've been studying the occult a little bit, so you might have wondered this too. Have the rulers of the world always been here and are capable of changing their identities, or through their bloodlines, allow the exact same agenda to continue? And because they figured out long ago that people will kill them if they find out that they're being ruled by them, they simply collapse their empires one after the other and build new ones, change their identity, and the same agenda continues and has been continuing for 100,000 years. Now, that was the thought that kind of set me bolt upright in the middle of the night, just going, oh, my God. It scares the living shit out of me. Probably true.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, imagine somebody who's been practicing their technique of bullshitting people and building and collapsing empires for 100,000 years. And you're supposed to come up with a tactic inside of 100 years through the generations of different truthers and Jim Mars, God rest his soul, and all of these people that have actually laid the groundwork for those of us who are now the new alternative media. In that smaller time frame, they're this close to having ultimate power that could never be challenged ever again. All right? And I think they've been building to this for a very, 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 very long time, and their plans have been hatched rather well. But as I say, the finest plans can be screwed up very easily. The best laid plans of mice and men. And most revolutions that I've seen happen throughout history, although I'm now starting to believe that they might have been concocted, happen with very small percentages of the population actually involved. And I'm of the belief that approximately 90% of the human population will never do anything to help someone else who's fighting for freedom or help themselves fight for freedom. However, if the 10% that do manage to be successful, those 90% of humanity benefit vicariously, automatically, even though they didn't do anything to help, right?
Yeah.
Now, that means that they didn't earn it. They didn't earn through blood. They didn't earn through suffering. They didn't earn through sacrifice the freedoms that they currently have. And what happens to a human being when they have something that they have not earned? They don't value it. And they do not protect it. And that's the situation I think that we're in. People have not fought for their freedoms for a very long time, maybe 1.5 generations or so far. And now they're realizing that it's under threat and they don't seem to care.
Yeah. When it comes to power, I think there's an occult concept going on there, is that these occult groups, which I do believe are there and have very real influence over pretty much everything, I think they model themselves and the way they work on God. It's a religious thing for them because, you know, what's God? Well, it's the most powerful, almighty thing there is. Okay, well, where is it? Well, I don't see it. I can't. It's invisible, right? God's invisible. You don't see it. And yet its hand works in everything. That's what they're doing, you see, because they're gods, right? You don't see them, but that's their powers. Because if you did see them, then you could be like, hey, you, I don't like the idea of you having so much power. Could you step down? They don't want that. It's like, no, it works. Our situation actually works when we're here in the shadows. Nobody knows about us. You know, maybe if they get some inkling, you know, let them fight it out amongst each other. But we're just going to stay back here in our bunker, our cave, so to speak, and, you know, continue doing our thing. And we're not going to. The most powerful people, I think, in the world, you never know who they are. They just put out these front people and these different tiers of government that are the outer periphery of secret societies. As he said, a lot of people in government are Freemasons because they're the candidates that have been brought in to do the dirty work, basically, to do on the ground work and also be the PR front people for real powers. Like, hey, we need some front people. We need some PR guys. Get a president of the United States in here. Make sure he's vetted, you know, make sure he's one of our guys.
Yeah, make sure he's financed by the Mayalansky Jewish mafia. Make sure his business acumen's really uptight so much that he bankrupted a casino, you know.
Hey, he's a businessman. He knows business, so he's going to run this country real good. You know, we need a business guy in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Who better to lead the most indebted country in the world than a man who bankrupted a casino? You know, just you know, I can see the solutions just working out freaking swimmingly.
He knows how to use the system in his favor, you see, to get all those. He's like that question mark guy on the infomercial that says, oh, I can give you all these government programs to give you money. You know, he's basically, you know, the new version of him. But he's also, you know, so he appeals to right wingers somehow because he uses all these government loopholes to get himself out of financial crisis. That sounds like a real conservative right wing way of thinking there.
It sounds more like a socialist weasel to me.
Well, you know, what's the difference?
Well, I think the New World Order created both these paradigms of socialism and fascism, and fascism was modeled on national what? Socialism? Oh, yeah. So it's socialism light or socialism heavy. And in the middle here, there's still socialism. Okay? This is your spectrum of choice. Now, there's two types of socialism I've found, though. One is anarcho-socialism, where everybody actually agrees and says, yep, voluntary taxation and so on and so forth. And those societies traditionally have actually worked really, really well until they get invaded by a non-anarcho-socialist country that has huge military spending who wants to take them over because they're making them look bad and their people are really, really sick of looking across at another country that looks like it has a similar system, but for some reason, those anarcho-socialists are actually free and have a say about what goes on with their lives, but us, we don't. Let's invade them. They can't have a say either.
I know it. I know it. The war machine is going strong. Yeah, that's a big one. The military industrial complex. I mean, again, to get on like wrong ideas people have about the world. The big one to me is like scientific progress and all this. We think as Americans, like there's these little companies out there that come up with these new innovations and, you know, and it's entrepreneurs. And if you come up with a good idea, you get rewarded, you become a millionaire, you know, you get your mansion. And that's where all innovation is driven from. Where in reality, it's coming from this military industrial complex, you know, these companies that are wed to the government, they get government money, and then they sell their stuff back to the government. And it's just, you know, yeah, it's private industry, but it's government funded, you see.
Which is fascism. All right. When Mussolini started up his little fascist dictatorship in Italy during World War II and allied himself with Hitler, he said that fascism should be more correctly termed corporatism because it is when the corporations and the state merge, that's what fascism is, which is, again, another form of socialism. It's corporate socialism as opposed to people socialism. And I'm starting to wonder now, like, there is no actual resistance. Like, I can't actually see any actual resistance that is actually promoting a solution that will work. All right, because even if you did want to go anarcho or anything like that, you've run into the same problem that every anarcho society in history has ever run into. You're not as determined to kill and defend your anarcho socialism as the fascist socialists are willing to kill you to defend theirs. All right, ergo, you get unfairly invaded and you frickin' lose every single time. And then the anarcho, and then the fascists will brainwash the next couple of generations of children so that nobody ever knew that they were free in the first frickin' place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that, to be honest. Yeah, it's, what do we do? I'm not sure.
Well, I think the first thing to do is just simply to talk about it, because if you have a look at all the problems of the world, all right, you know, just imagine I'm holding an apple that represents every single problem in the world. Okay, the only problem with that apple is nobody knows it's in my hands. Nobody can see it. Nobody knows that there's even a single problem in the world, let alone all of them. All right, and the solution, therefore, is to talk about each and every one of them all the time, mm-hmm. and try to give people a little bit of understanding. It's that open dialogue thing. And that's what makes society, I think, function. It's the decent people in society talking to each other, openly sharing their ideas, and those who listen, who actually truly raise the consciousness level and change the way the public thinks about things. Much like the 100th monkey syndrome, where you had a whole bunch of monkeys on one island who suddenly figured out how to use tools in order to extract ants from anthills to eat them. And then monkeys on other islands who'd never had any contact with them whatsoever suddenly knew to use the exact same tooling techniques. Even zebras, for example. If you have a lion that is stalking a herd of zebras, one of them will see it and another one will see it. And by the time approximately 6% of the herd has seen or become aware that there's a lion there, instantly 100% of the herd becomes aware. Now, these are the things that I'm starting to think about in terms of how much of our animal side was really bred out of us by education, and how much of our instincts about being wary of predators is still actually there, and can we reawaken those predator senses, well, the anti-predator senses, the things that animals use to defend themselves, at a society, global-wide level? What if 6% of the entire population of the world became aware of creatures known as psychopaths and archons and actually had a working understanding of them? The world's problems would start to shrink by the day.
Yeah. Yeah, the transhuman thing ties into this too. That's one of my big criticisms is, first of all, people don't understand that transhuman technologies are going to be developed by the military-industrial complex, right? We're just thinking it's like Bill Nye the Science Guy bringing all this stuff, which it isn't. And then second of all, it's the perfect way to beat out all of these, as you call them, animal instincts, which is just like survival mechanisms, things that aren't always exactly very comfortable, right? We don't like being anxious. We don't like being angry all the time. So, you know, we don't like being depressed. You know, depression is horrible, of course. I'm not disputing that, but perhaps it's a symptom of something else we're doing wrong. You know, maybe it's our bodies and our minds telling us that, you know, we have to pay attention to something. So you got right now we take so many drugs, or we're told to, and that's like the way out. But transhumanism takes things further. It's like, no, alter your body and take away all those horrible little feelings you don't like. You know, anything that causes you any sort of pain or grief, or just, you know, something you don't like, a way you don't like to feel, an emotion you don't like. And transhumanists talk about that. They talk about like getting rid of emotions that are bad. And I hear this, I'm like, that's exactly that's exactly the kind of thing that's going to get us in more trouble, because we're not going to be able to have – we're not going to have our senses in order to even know what's going on anymore. We're just going to beat our own senses out and hook ourselves up to a virtual reality where we can play video games within our own head all day long. Well, what's the point of that?
Now, I saw a trailer for the movie coming out called Ready Player One. And it's a kid in a trailer park, a vertical trailer park, right? And the only place where anybody can be or do anything is in this virtual world. Now, you'll be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, when you're distracted from the bad things in your life, just how bad you can allow them to get. All right? And as Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the transhuman situation. That's the big issue. I mean, I don't see how that just doesn't drive. That's not the driving question for anybody. Like, there's a lot of people promoting the idea. I just don't know how they're.
I watched a YouTube video just recently, actually, and he was talking about this interesting phenomenon about the end of the world, right? And in movies and TV and things like that. And it turns out that a huge proportion and percentage wise of the most popular movies and TV shows today are all apocalyptic themed, right? Mm-hmm. And he was curious about this. Why is that? Why is it when we're coming to the apocalypse, which means the revelation of truth, ladies and gentlemen, not the end, do people become so enamored with the concept of the end of the world? And he said that it was because people are so depressed about their reality and their own inabilities that to see society destroyed gives them comfort. To see a hero taking on evil, they can personify and identify with that, okay? Now, all this does is allow them to enjoy their end and not participate in their salvation. And I think that this article just recently came out. It says that the CIA was behind the creation of a huge proportion of the most popular movies and TV shows ever made, right? And the director of the CIA said that once the CIA's disinformation campaign is complete, everything the American people know will be the opposite of the truth.
Yeah, well, certainly the CIA has an entertainment liaison office, and as does every branch of the military. They do work on films, television. My friend Tom Secker just wrote a book about this, really good book called National Security Cinema. People should check that out if they don't know about that. Really good stuff. And the book basically just lays out, you know, like, here's the entertainment liaison offices. Here's what they do. There's no question about what they do. You know, we have a record of it. There's a lot of other stuff that we don't have the record of, which has been destroyed or it's been thrown away in this under lock and key in this library at Georgetown University, you know. So we know that it's being done, and we can see the sort of changes that are made to scripts by the military, by the CIA. We can tell that they have a very real propaganda campaign going on. And the scope of the knowledge on this has really grown recently to the point where, you know, the average person cannot refute this. You can't refute like the amount of work that's been done in Hollywood, in all media, really, but through all these government agencies. Big question is, you know, why? Why are they doing this? And what do they have to gain from it? Exactly what are they doing? That's where you have to, you know, speculate a little bit. But definitely, I mean, if you think – if you trust them, then I wonder about you. You know what I mean? Like, because you shouldn't. You certainly shouldn't.
Yeah. Trusting known liars is not the brightest idea, ladies and gentlemen, that you've ever had. But, you know, we all do it from time to time, and that's only because we don't know that they're liars. And there's an old saying, you can trust a thief, but you cannot trust a liar. Aaron Franz has been my very special guest. Thank you very much for joining me. And ladies and gentlemen, make sure to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com to make a small donation, either through the Patreon, the Kiwi Bank, or the PayPal there. Anything that you do to help this show, I am absolutely grateful for. You're sharing the shows, you're liking them, you're putting them out there, despite all the social media censorship. We'll see you again sometime, folks.
Hi folks, I'm Vinny Eastwood from the Vinny Eastwood Show, the first and only New Zealander in history to be offered a talk radio show on an American network. For nearly 10 years, I've worked hard to help people's voices be heard, created the largest online archive of protests, public meetings, and long-form interviews with activists in New Zealand history, revealing the hidden and uncomfortable truths of our time that no corporate media will air. On this show, you will hear directly from the activists, journalists, and fringe researchers about every topic and belief structure imaginable. No taboo topics, no fear of doom, and only one rule: have fun. After all, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point? Thousands of hours of free audio and video content with almost any guest on practically any subject you can imagine is available right now for free. Why? Because people all over the world have been giving me a few dollars a month. Many have been giving $5 a week, others $10 and $20, each according to their means. Some so generous as to donate $100 a month with one specific instruction: just keep doing what you're doing, Vinny. This show has changed and in some cases literally saved lives. There are people who live today who would have taken their own life had it not been for the good humour and mind-blowing conversations with some of the most brilliant people on the planet to remind us that there is a lighter side to genocide, and the only thing worse than the New World Order is the jokes of Vinny Eastwood.